Romans 15, 1 through 13. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Well, there was a big controversy going on. In fact, this controversy had resulted in a serious conflict. There really was a division in the church in Rome. And the Apostle Paul wrote the letter, what we call Romans, to the Christians in Rome to address this. Paul was deeply concerned that with what was going on, that it wouldn't persist, that it wouldn't continue on. And what was going on, you can see, just going back to Romans 14 from before this passage that Terry read, some of what those who thought themselves to be the stronger, the more mature Christians in the faith, they were creating a huge stumbling block. They really were. They were erecting and building a wall for the ones they regarded to be the weaker or the newer Christians. And they were imposing their convictions on them about what kind of food you could eat, you couldn't eat. You see, these new Christians, they had a background. They were just infants in the faith, really. And they had a background that said to them that they couldn't eat food that had been sacrificed to pagan gods. Now, Paul got it. Paul understood that Christians were free to eat the food they wanted. But what he did not get and what he would not permit was that some Christians would insist that other Christians violate their consciences simply to prove a point. And so this is what was going on. Paul laid it out for them, Romans 15, 17. The argument that he has moves on. You need to accept each other. You need to welcome, greet, embrace each other just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given the glory. For Paul, there was no law above the law of love. God's law of love was the one that they were to embrace. They were to accept each other, not to build walls, not to create divisions. In fact, in Christ, the walls were to come down so that the love of God could prevail in their midst. Now, the New Living Translation that Terry read from has the word accept. If you were to look at numbers of other translations, and indeed, if you were to go to our resident Greek scholar, Deb, you knew this was coming, didn't you? Yeah, that this word accept, this means as well, it has a meaning to welcome and to receive. You have the example. Same word, exactly the same word that's used in Paul's letter. We call it the Philemon 1, or just one chapter really, but the verse is Philemon 1 and verse 17. And Paul was writing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, who had been a slave. And Onesimus, this slave, had come to faith, and he had been a stalwart in the faith, steadfast in his faith in Jesus with Paul while they were in prison. And Onesimus is free, and he's going back to Philemon. And what does Paul say? So if you consider me your partner, welcome, accept, receive Onesimus, just as you would welcome me. This is what Paul was saying. You know, in fact, Jesus, he had something of the same thing to say in the Gospels about the children. You know, one of the wonderful things about Knox is that I see us really as, and I know you do too, it's the hallmark. It's gone on here for years, for decades and more, this a multi-generational, intergenerational congregation, people of all generations. But Jesus said this about the children. That's why it's so important that even if our children are a little shy, that when we see them with their parents, that we go up and greet them and welcome them along with their parents, that we are to receive the children. We are to accept the children. We're to welcome the children. In fact, the church, the body of Christ, it's arms open. We're to be the most welcoming group of people there are in the community and indeed in the whole world. Our hearts are open. Our lives are open, first to everyone who's in the household of faith and then to the wider community. And folks, that starts right here. That's Knox Church. It starts right here when we're gathered here this Sunday morning. No walls. They've got to come down. We accept each other, strong in the faith, weak in the faith, however you understand that, right or wrong, you know, rich or poor, male or female. You know, Paul wrote in another one of his epistles, the Christians in the provinces of Galatia, he said, there's no longer these ethnic divisions, racial divisions, Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We're one in Christ. Open up your arms. Greet, embrace, welcome each other in the faith. Now, Paul was really only backing up what Jesus said when he told the host of a banquet. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And Jesus was attending this banquet, and the host happened to be a guy who was a pretty strict, straight-laced, sober, somewhat of a hard-nosed religious leader. Okay? Wow, they're the toughest ones. And he had to tell this guy, you've gotten it wrong. You've gotten it upside down. He had to say to him, well, listen, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. They'll invite you back. That's only going to be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Now, Jesus says this to the host, and there's this other person who's sitting at the table, and he just pipes up right into the conversation. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing! How incredible! I mean, this is stunning. What's it going to be like to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God? And I think anyone who's got an ounce of the presence of God in their life would have to go, indeed. Indeed, truly, we're called to be a community of acceptance and inclusion, a welcoming, commending, blessing community of God's people. It's one of the clear marks that identifies us as those who truly love. How do we know that we're fulfilling this command, you know, that by this all people will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another? It's by the accepting, embracing, receiving, welcoming love that's present in our church family. No cliques, no closed groups, arms open to everyone. A people who go out of our way to greet and welcome, especially the newcomer. I mean, really, the newcomer to our midst, you know. And let me say this. This is not a ministry for the few. You know, it's not like you can be standing talking to your favorite person after the service and you look over there, oh, well, that's what they do. That's them. But that's not me. This isn't a ministry of the few. It's the ministry of all of us. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, you know, this morning after the service in the gathering hall, go up to somebody you don't know and introduce yourself to them. You say, well, I don't know. I mean, Are you sure about this, George? I mean, is this just you telling us to do this, or is this a call of God? Is this really what the Lord wants us to do? Well, I believe the apostle, speaking under the empowerment and the inspiration of the Spirit, he was right when he said this. Look at that verse at the bottom there. Greet each other in Christian love. Now, the New Living Translators, they didn't want to put this straight out there, you know, as it's, you know, but you see that F that's after there? That it's getting what's in the Greek. I don't need Deb right here because it's right in the Bible itself, you see. And Greek with a sacred kiss. Now, I'm going to be straight with you here, okay? I don't have a Middle Eastern background. I have a Scottish heritage. And this business of going, that's not in my blood, okay? Maybe it's in yours, and maybe, you know, Presbyterian Church in Canada, Church of Scotland, you know, it's just a good old Presbyterian handshake, right? Or maybe you think that Len Scobie's actually onto something. Well, Mark, you got that. Come on, we're going to. So here's Scobie at work, okay? There you go. Okay, you know, in my mind, the key, what Paul's saying, you know, you do what's right. You do what's appropriate. You do what's fitting. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I had a person one time, not in this church, quite a few years ago, who I greeted in a fashion that was just sort of typically George, and that person said, "You ever do that to me again, I'm not coming back to this church." You know, you got to be sensitive. You got to be aware. So, you know, in that case, maybe the safe thing is the Presbyterian handshake. I don't know. Or maybe it is the contemporary one. Help me out here, Doug. You know, it's the old elbow one like that. I don't know. But the key, the underlying idea is what? That our lives are open to each other in Christian love. We step out of our comfort zones. We move away from just doing the safe thing. And we move into understanding the biblical call. Not George's call, okay? The biblical call in the body of Christ to greet each other, to accept each other, to receive each other in Christian love. All right. I think we got time to do it before we come to the Lord's table. In fact, you know, it's one of those things that needs to be done before we come to the Lord's table, that all is well in the body of Christ. There's harmony and welcome and embrace. So, take some time. Find someone right now. Do the thing that you understand is the, you know, whatever you want. You know? But greet some people and make the statement, "I see you. I see you. You're here this morning. I see you. You matter to me. You're not invisible. You count to me. You're important to me. We're part of, together, the body of Christ. And I'm going to start with my brother, Leonard, and then move to his brother, Doug. So, you find some folks too, will you?" declares is that it's the heart of God. This is on display for us. It's God saying, I welcome you. I accept you. I embrace you. I receive you into the joy of celebrating a round table together, the feast, the banquet that's the kingdom of God. And this table is really a story. I mean, the service of worship is a story of this God who's holy and great, of people just like ourselves who've come short and failed. But this incredible love of God that is irrepressible, can't be held back, sends the Son, Jesus, to save and to redeem. And then commits to feed and strengthen and nourish, to build up in the faith. You know, this morning, I walked over here and I was just, well, I wasn't skipping, but I was pretty close to skipping. And I got here and then I thought, oh, George, no wonder you felt so light of foot to skip. You forgot your keys. And there, you know, there's a lot of them, right? So I made a quick phone call, and Jan very graciously drove them up. I forgot my keys. But the table's here because we forget. You know, we have the world that beats down upon us. Things that happen in our lives, and we forget the God who speaks this word of welcome and acceptance and love. And the table's a reminder. We remember today not only what God has said, but God has done for you, for me, for us. Just as Christ has accepted you, accept each other. And so this is the banquet of joy. What a wonderful thing it's going to be, that man at the table said, to be at table in the kingdom of God. You know, when Jesus was at the table, they were gathered just on that night before he was crucified on the cross. And when he was at the table, he took bread, and I'll be doing it in a moment, but he broke the bread. And it was like they had some eyes to see. There was something going on there. But most especially, you see it after his resurrection, walking along the road to Emmaus, and these two people with them, probably a husband and a wife, and it says he opened the Word of God. He broke bread around a table, and their eyes were open, and they saw, and their hearts began to burn with the understanding, the awakening that had taken place in their lives. And Jesus comes this morning with the same invitation to every one of us. Every one of us who's put our trust in the Master, Jesus comes and he says to us, eat and drink, and your eyes are going to be opened, your ears are going to be opened, your heart is going to be opened up, you're going to be strengthened, you're going to be given power that I alone can give you to live the kind of life I've called you to live, that you were created to live. I want to invite you to join me now as with joy we come to this table in our affirmation of faith. And it's taken from one of our statements in the Presbyterian Church, our assemblies meeting Friday, Saturday, today, and tomorrow. But this is taken from Living Faith, the eighth section. It's a bit lengthy, but it's worth our reading. Let's stand together. And we're going to read this together in unison. Okay, let's read. We bow before the mystery of God's love. From it came our creation. By it we are daily nurtured. Through it we find salvation. A consuming fire of purity, God's love is yet warm and gentle compassion. We respond to the God who is love by loving in return. Love means seeking the best for others, and is the mark of a Christian. Love for God leads to love for others. We cannot claim to love God whom we do not see if we hate those about us whom we do see. Love of God and of neighbor fulfills the law of God. Love is compassion for creation. Love is the service of others and is not self-centered. Love speaks the truth tempered with kindness. Love grows in knowledge and discernment. It is the road to Christian maturity and is the way of seeing others as God sees them. Love follows the example of Jesus Christ. We should also love ourselves. Self-love is not selfishness. We love and accept ourselves because God has already loved and accepted us in Christ, providing the foundation of our sense of worth. Love is the greatest gift in the world because it will last beyond this world and is supremely pleasing to our Lord. Love foreshadows life in heaven.